The sign said, "Underground secure bunker for sale." On one side of the road was a nuclear weapons research facility, and on the other side, an ancient burial mound created around 800 BCE by the indigenous Adena people. It felt like the full spectrum of human possibility, invention, folly, beginning, ending, mystery, all on one street near where I grew up in Miamisburg, Ohio. We got out and took a picture of the real estate sign, trying to imagine what you might do with an underground secure bunker for sale in the shadow of this epic mound, 65-foot tall reminder of the largeness of time and whatever it means to build mounds. Knowing that a sacred mound may one day be a poorly tended bump in Ohio between a golf course and a nuclear Superfund site. Lewis Latimer, one of our spiritual ancestors, wrote, "A cold gray sky, a cold gray sea, a distant land and a light to me, the only trace as I go my way of the joys and hopes of yesterday. And I look on the sea, I turn to the sky, and they answer me, life is mystery." I have to say, I'm not really that into mystery as a person. I'm sort of a "you'll never know a lot, and that's that" type of person. Maybe a few of my people are here. But lately, so much of what I've seen people struggle with spiritually, what I've struggled with spiritually, is about mystery. About feeling like if we cannot explain it or understand it, we must be doing something wrong. If I cannot explain it or understand it, I must be doing something wrong. Lewis Latimer, as you've heard, was an inventor. His thing was understanding the ununderstandable. He helped Bell patent the telephone, improved this process for filaments that I don't totally understand a lot about. Of the electric lamp, he wrote, "Like the light of the sun, it beautifies all things on which it shines." Latimer also helped to found what is now the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Queens. I imagine he would have loved our UU ritual of lighting a chalice, a reminder of the light he brought to so many. Latimer's parents had been slaves who ran away from Virginia to Massachusetts. And when their owner followed them here, they, with the support of abolitionists, bought their freedom. I wonder what Latimer thought about the big mystery of human evil that enslaved his parents. I wonder what he thought about the smaller mysteries of carbon and flame that he solved every day. What is clear is that he did not turn away from the impossible challenges of being a Black inventor at the turn of the 19th century, that he found in nature a way to face mystery with bravery and love. His words again, "And I look on the sea, I turn to the sky, and they answer me, life is mystery." Our world is full of beautiful mysteries, as anyone who's gotten lost in a big city or a big field and ended up on a beautiful street or in that coffee shop no one knows about, or by some secret stream or previously undiscovered perfect climbing tree knows. The unknown is full of joy. Wendell Berry writes about the joy in mystery, yes, and also the harder parts. He says, "It may be that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. And that when we no longer know which way to go, we have come to our real journey. The mind," he says, "that is not baffled is not employed. The impeded stream is the one," he says, "that sings." Thank goodness that the baffled mind is an employed one. When the video was released of Laquan McDonald's murder by police in Chicago in 2014, it was a brutal, most heartbreaking video of 17-year-old Laquan walking away from the police, being shot 16 times. I learned that the journalists and activists who sued the city for that video had done so against the wishes of Laquan's family. I tried to imagine being Brandon Smith or Jamie Calvin or any of the other constellation of folks who eventually succeeded in getting the city to release the video of the shooting more than a year after it occurred. Tried to imagine that mystery of wanting so deeply to respect a grieving family and wanting so deeply for the truth to be known. Without that video, the officer would not be facing charges. Without that video, the corrupt Chicago police superintendent would still be in charge. Without that video, the Magnificent Mile would not have been shut down by nonviolent action on Black Friday, by young Black activists demanding that their futures be funded like shopping is. Barry's words, "It may be that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. That when we no longer know which way to go, we have come to our real journey." I don't know whether Brandon Smith, that Uber-driving lefty journalist who eventually won the videos released, prayed about it or cried or stayed up late trying to figure out the right thing to do. I don't know if he talked to Laquan's family or if his fellow journalists thought he should release the video or not. Our real work is to not walk away when we don't know what to do. Our real work is to face down the choices, even when they're between harm and worse harm, especially when they're between harm and worse harm. Our real journey begins not when we decide to do the work of justice, but when we come to the edge of our own knowing, when we do not know what to do and try anyway. Particularly in our social justice movements, it's so easy to forget that behind every triumph, every win, there are a million messy choices. You all know this, a million messy choices with no clear answer. But we're told again and again that if we don't know what we're doing it wrong, when the truth may be the opposite. Only when we don't know what we're doing are we doing the work that we're called to. In these days in particular, there are mysteries everywhere. How to be compassionate and protect those we love, protect our families, protect our neighbors. So many choices of how to try to live our values, how to figure out what is our role, what is ours to do. And so we bring our bravery and our love to those mysteries, to that real work. Those mysteries that are so uncertain and in the end are the ones that grow our spirits. In A Field Guide to Getting Lost, Rebecca Solnit writes, "Leave the door open for the unknown, the door into the dark. That's where the most important things come from, where you yourself came from and where you will go. The things we want," she says, "are transformative. And we don't know or only think we know what is on the other side of that transformation." So much is mystery beyond justice work and carbon filaments. Sickness, family conflict, addiction, parenting, the sadness that often comes with shorter days, longer nights. Why? These unknowns are everywhere, offering the frustration of confusion. And also somewhere, maybe, the possibility of transformation. We don't know what is on that other side of transformation, says Solnit. Professor Karen Landell was a friend of my family's. Karen stepped into that door of the unknown that Solnit writes about. She encountered that real journey that comes from not knowing where to go from here. Karen was a linguist who lost her tongue to cancer. And so she was a studier of human speech who could not speak. She continued to teach using text-to-speech software, continued her exploration of phonetics as a person with a disability. In her journals, Landell wrote, "I'm not writing about my experience because I feel sorry for myself and I'm looking for pity. She said, I am writing because I have long been interested in what we can learn from experiments of nature, because I myself now am one. Mystery is not just the magic of a carbon filament that burns for days, or the epicness of a nuclear weapon site next to an ancient burial mound. Mystery has a heartbreak side. The journalist deciding between sharing a violent truth that will transform a city and a grieving family's wishes. The scholar whose study becomes their sickness. In 2002, Professor Landell wrote, I have been working at the University of Chicago for 20 years. She said, there is a tradition that the flag is flown at half-mast from a pole on the main quad when a student, faculty member, administrator, or trustee dies. She said, I walk past this almost every day. I have made an informal study of the ages of the deceased. Few die young, more at advanced age, and some at midlife. Obviously, she writes, I am selected. There is much more that I would have loved to have investigated, experienced, accomplished, seen, read, and written, but mostly I am content. I have enjoyed a very rich existence. She died less than a year later. Solnit's words, leave the door open for the unknown, the door into the dark. That's where the most important things come from, where you yourself came from, and where you will go. None of us know the answers to these mysteries, these great mysteries of life and death and learning and light and dark. What we can do is claim them as part of the journey, face them with bravery and love, to believe even in our most doubting, fearful hearts, that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. May we be so open and so willing. And I look on the sea, I turn to the sky, and they answer me, life is mystery. In the face of great mystery, may we have the bravery to not walk away from hard choices like Brandon Smith. May we dedicate ourselves to light, even when our lives are touched by great evil like Lewis Latimer. And like Professor Karen, may we do the hardest things with great love and awe. And may we be assured that when we have no idea what we are doing, this is our real work. This is our real journey. Amen, and blessed be.